আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। নাহমাদুহু ওয়া নুসাল্লি আলা রাসূলিহিল কারীম, আম্মা বাদ। উলামায়ে কিরাম, মোস্ট রেসপেক্টেড ব্রাদার্স, আওয়ার সিস্টার্স লিসনিং ওভার দ্য রিসিভার্স অ্যান্ড দিস আফটারনুন অল রেডিও ইসলাম লিসনার্স, উই ওয়ার ডিসকাসিং অ্যান আয়াত অফ দ্য কোরআন শরীফ in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes what is in reality piety. We discussed it in some detail and there was much that was still to be discussed, and I thought I will continue today. But since there are listeners over the radio and others here also who may not have heard the first two bayans, so I will be discussing something else in today's short majlis. First of all, this nikah that took place, many a times when I have discussed the virtues of nikah, you can see how simple and easy it is. It's not a difficult thing. It's very, very easy, very practical. Because whatever Islam emphasizes upon, then it will always be easy. Because Islam is a religion, it is a way of life for people till the day of Qiyamah. It takes into consideration every person's condition. It is not just for the rich or for the poor. It is for all people of all times, of different nationalities, different countries, wherever they may be. Islam is always very, very simple. We make it difficult because of all the things that we add on to this very simple, practical way of life that has been demonstrated and explained to us by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can see in nikah you need a few witnesses, a little bit of mehr according to the laws of Sharia, which is also very simple, and ijab and qubul, that there is a proposal, there's an acceptance, and that's the end of nikah. Simple as that. So those people who say that it is very difficult to practice upon Islam, it is not Islam that is difficult, it is we who have made Islam difficult. If a person says that he cannot get up for Fajr Salat, then when we ask him why, then we find out that the person is going to bed past midnight, is watching all the films and all the videos and everything else, and then he goes to sleep. Now if he cannot get up for Fajr Salat, then you don't say it is difficult to get up for Fajr Salat. You will say that it is this person who has made it difficult for himself. Like that in all other aspects of our life, Islam is very beautiful. Therefore, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned very beautifully, and this is just comes to mind now, and inshallah this will be the subject for today. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in reality are only six. If you have to look at the bounties of Allah ta'ala, there are many, many bounties. Unlimited bounties. In ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. If you have to count the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala, they are unlimited. In one bounty, there's again unlimited bounties. Take our sight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, liver and lungs. Look at the research that is being done on all these organs of the body, and there's just no end to it. Showing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us such bounties that we cannot even enumerate them or count them. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that out of all those ni'mats and all those bounties, if you have to look at it, the greatest ni'mats are six. First of all, Islam itself, he says, is the greatest ni'mat. Because a person can have everything, but if he does not have Islam, then we will say that he is committing high treason. So even if the person does a lot of charitable works, he does a lot of good deeds and good actions, he will be rewarded for all that in this world, but in the hereafter there will be nothing. And we know and we truly believe that the real world is the world of the hereafter, where we are going to remain forever and ever. So those people who say, but why should they not be rewarded? They are being rewarded, but in this world. And as far as Jannat is concerned, then it is high treason. They have rejected belief in the Creator, the one who blessed them with all those ni'mats. You reject belief. We know in this world also, if the person tries to topple a government or is charged for high treason, then what happens? he cannot stand in court and say, but I built so many hospitals and so many schools and I donated so much of money to this charity and that charity. They're not interested in all that. It's high treason. They'll hang him or execute him or put him in prison for life. So the greatest ni'mat is Islam. If a person has been blessed with this ni'mat of Islam, in which you recognize the Creator, the ni'mat of Islam is that the person recognizes the Creator, that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He recognizes the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam and the greatest of all, the last and the final messenger, Tajdar-e-Madina Ahmad-e-Mujtaba Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he recognizes him, that he has to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. He believes in the angels, he believes in the books. In fact, it is connected with what we were discussing over the past 2 weeks. He believes in the life after death, on the day of judgment. Now when the person believes in all these things, then we will say this person is a mu'min, as is a Muslim. Now when he is a Muslim, he's got iman also in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this is the greatest ni'mat, this is the greatest bounty, so that this person may have the best of this world also and the best of the hereafter too. What is the sense if the person just get the best of one part of life and he does not enjoy the hereafter? So the first ni'mat, he says, and we can discuss this in great detail, but there's no time for all that. I just want to give you some indicators. So he says the greatest ni'mats are six. Out of all the ni'mats, if in reality the great ni'mats are six. The first one is that the person has Islam. The second thing is that the Quran Sharif that has been given, it is the greatest ni'mat. Because it is a book of guidance till the day of Qiyamah, and it discusses all aspects of our life. It does not leave us in the darkness. We have guidance with regards to our marriages, with regards to our transactions and dealings, with regards to our life in this world, how we should be behaving and conducting our lives, our relationship with our wives, with our children, with our families, with our parents, with our clients and customers, the honesty, the truthfulness and everything that is required. In every field, the Quran Sharif gives us the text, and after that you get the full description and full details in the teachings of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Quran Sharif tells us that, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever my Rasul gives you, accept it. And if he stops you and prevents you from something, then leave it out. Because he does not speak on his own. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Quran Sharif says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not just speak of his own whim and fancy. Whatever he says in direction with regards to whatever matter he gives, it is wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, whether it is this nikah or anything else, we will find the direction. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us how to go about it. Otherwise, where else did we get all this information? That there should be this meher and there should be this and there should be that. So that is the second bounty. Say the Quran Sharif. Therefore, Akbar Allahabadi said, he said, Qawm hai Quran se, Quran ruksat qawm gum. Saum hai iman se, iman ruksat saum gum. In other words, fasting, if the person has got iman, then he will be able to fast. If he doesn't have iman, then there is nothing preventing him from eating and drinking. But if he believes that jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se, that if you hide and conceal and commit sins, then somebody is watching you from above, then he can fast. And qawm hai Quran se, the whole ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their respect, their honor, their dignity, their rise, all depends on how much of contact they have got with the Quran Sharif. If the Quran Sharif is just for the shelves or to catch dust till the month of Ramadan, then we must blame ourselves. So again, this is another subject on its own, but we're not going into the details. So he said the third thing is the Quran, the second thing is the Quran Sharif. That the person has iman, he's got Islam, he's got Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's got in his life Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his guide, and he's got and the Quran Sharif, the third thing. So first thing is the person is blessed with iman, Islam, then he's got Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third thing is that he has got the Quran Sharif in his life. Quran Sharif was supposed to be in the life of the person. When it's in the life of the person, people will get attracted into Islam. But as I said, this bayan of 20 minutes can only be indicators. Therefore, we go on to the fourth point. And the fourth thing that he mentioned, he says that in reality, if you have to look at it, out of all the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala, it's amnu afiyat. That the person has got security, the person has got well-being, whether it is in his health, whether it is in his wealth, whether the person is in his home, whether he is in the bazaar and marketplace, whether he is traveling, or whether he is on the ground or on the air, wherever he may be, if he has got security, he's got amn and afiyat, then it's a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. It is one great ni'mat which has been destroyed and it is totally lost. And that is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does when the believers in particular and people in general distance themselves from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings, then this afiyat and salamati and security is taken away. Therefore we can see how much of security throughout the world we go. Look at the airports, look at all other places, nothing but security, security. But still there's no peace, and still there's no comfort, still there's no enjoyment of any kind. The person is always in fear. He just don't know when the next bomb blast will take place, whether it is in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country. Wherever he is, there's just no security. The crime rate of our own country, we say, is so high, that with all the security equipment and with everything that we have in our possession, with all our fences and with all the alarm systems and with all the burglar guards, and it's nothing wrong if we have to install all these things, there's nothing wrong. But can we say that after all that now we feel very safe and comfortable? The person very recently, he mentioned himself, he said over R1 million he spent in installation of all the security equipment, burglar guards and electric fence and whatever he did in his premises. And after having done all that, the very same evening there was burglary. Now who is the one that entered it? The people who have installed it. Who knows all the details? And also so many people, after having installed everything, they just drive out of the gate and they are hijacked. So this security, and all of us, we have got that kind of fear now. So he says that is a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if a person is blessed with aman and afiyat and security, that the person feels comfortable. Otherwise, what is the purpose? The person has earned great amount of wealth, but he's not comfortable at all. Look at the kings of the world. Take all these countries where they have been just toppling. Did they not have a sufficient amount of wealth? Oil wells, gold mines and everything else. Gold, platinum, uranium, silver and diamonds, millions and billions stashed away, but just no security. No, within all that they had also, there was no security. Shaho ke saro par taaj gira se dard sa kasar rehta hai aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. You've heard this before also. Shaho ke saro par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. These kings and rulers, they may have got crowns on their heads, but those crowns seem to be very, very weighty and heavy, giving them a lot of headaches. Those crowns are giving them a lot of pain and headaches. Why? Because there's no security, no aman. That person cannot even do shopping in comfort. Nothing but fear all the time. Life is in danger, life in danger. Aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. And those who are the ahle wafa, those who got real bond and connection with Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then this is a world of means. They also go through difficulties, trials, tests and hardships. But within their hearts, if there's any calamity, any disaster, any destruction, they know that as far as possible they are doing that which is right. So Allah Ta'ala gives them a kind of sukoon in the heart. There's an ocean of noor that flows in their hearts and they enjoy a kind of tranquility in the heart which the kings do not even know of. They haven't even heard of. So therefore, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, unlimited, priceless bounties. But of all that, he said, the greatest ni'mat is Islam. Without Islam, you can have everything, but you got nothing. Then Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala describes as a great favor that he sent Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then the Quran Sharif, as I said, we are just giving some indicators. And then this aman and afiyat. So whosoever works towards increasing the aman and afiyat, that means security, peace, tranquility, and sukoon, and safeguard of wealth, of iman, the person gets enjoy some kind of comfort and peace. So whoever works in that direction, then that person will be rewarded. And all those people who work in the direction of destruction and all the time putting fear into the hearts of people, so then it means that they are working in the opposite direction. But that is again, as I said, another subject. Now let's take on the third point. He says the fifth point. He says the fifth thing is this, that out of all the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of all the ni'mats, another great blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is in reality a ni'mat, is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he conceals the sins of a person. Now this is something that we don't even consider as a great ni'mat. In fact, we become very, very bold and we become very arrogant when Allah ta'ala conceals. The person committed some sin in secrecy, private. Now he should be making tawbah, expressing remorse and regret. That, oh Allah, you blessed me with so much of bounties and ni'mats, and I should be obedient to you. You are my benefactor, you are my malik, you are the khaliq, and I am disobeying you. So he should be crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The sahaba-i-kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they did all the right things. The pious and the righteous people, they do all the right things. And still they've shed tears before Allah ta'ala. The Khulafa-i Rashidin promised by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you all will be in Jannah. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, and all the other people that he had mentioned about Jannah. But yet look at before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala how they are expressing remorse, regret, shame, nadamat, and yet they didn't commit any sins. And our condition is that we commit the sins and instead of expressing remorse and regret, just look at the newspapers and look at all the magazines and look at all the issues that are now circulating around. We are quite bold and quite happy to advertise our sins. So and so was seen in this club, this one seen in that nightclub, this one was seen in that casino, this one was dancing away with this woman, that one was dancing away with that woman. And look at the behayai and the shamelessness, the indecency, unconcerns. So here, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala conceal sins, it is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. There was a time in the Bani Israel or some people of the past that if they committed a sin at night in the darkness also, in the morning everybody could read it on their door. Every person that was passing by can read on the door that this is what the person was engaged in last night. Sins we are talking about. Imagine what kind of humiliation and what kind of disgrace and embarrassment each and every one of us would have suffered. If only every person passing by our door, he had to read whatever we were engaging in that at night, what kind of videos the person was watching, what kind of porn sites he was on, what kind of adultery, fornication or other sins he has committed, all on his door. So in fact, people would have been glued to those doors, and especially people like us with our beards and kurtas and topis, and outwardly sometimes we are pious, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows, he is watching. So therefore, what would have been our condition? It is the barakat and the rahmat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we got saved from that kind of calamity and that kind of humiliation and disgrace. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala conceals the sins of a person, then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says this is a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. That the person committed some sin, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave that person because of his tears of nadamat and shame. But of course, if those sins are related to the rights of somebody else, the rights of people, then we can't just say we made a lot of tawbah last night, or I made hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah, so therefore everything finished, or I cried so much in the plains of Arafat. There the person has to pay back if something is due to someone. If in inheritance the person took what was not due to him, the sister's share or the brother's share or somebody else's share, sometimes the mother's share is also taken away. A person eats up his mother's share also. So at such a time now the person repents, regrets, but then he asks for maaf. And he has to return whatever is due to whomsoever. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very forgiving, very merciful. But the rights of people, the person has to ask for forgiveness. So therefore he says that these are the major ni'mats. Out of all the ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these are the major ni'mats. So therefore, if a person comes into Islam and gets married, and this is again now coming to the nikah that took place, then we must not look down upon the person. We must be happy, we must congratulate the person that the person accepted Islam. As for how the person accepted or why did the person accept, we are not responsible for that. The hearts of the individual, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. We are not judges in this world. There are millions of people who came into Islam and they reached great heights. And we who born Muslims sometime day and night, we commit such kind of sins that even shaitan becomes ashamed of us. So therefore, if somebody came into Islam, the person has been blessed with a great ni'mat and a great bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever the past is all forgiven. How many Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in? How many of them? What was their past? They were in shirk, they were in kufr. Some of them were from the Jews, some of them were from the Christians, some of them were from other tribes who had not accepted Islam until then. But when they came into Islam, then look at the heights that they rose to when they became obedient to Allah Ta'ala. That is the condition. When we bring somebody into Islam, then it is our duty. We get so much of letters from different parts of the world, believe me, that a person brings somebody into Islam, and thereafter when this person comes into Islam, the person says, I was very, very disappointed with this Muslim who's supposed to be teaching me deen and supposed to be making me a practical Muslim. Instead, the person is demanding such kind of things which are totally un-Islamic and haram. So that is now our responsibility and our duty, that when we bring somebody into Islam, then after that we guide the person along. We show him the beautiful teachings of Islam, and we show it in our lives, in our by example. The difference between the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Tabi'in and the other righteous and pious people was this, between them and us, that when somebody wanted to see what Islam is, so they had to look at the person and they found Islam in his life. It was, the person was walkie-talkie Islam. That if you wanted to see honesty, truthfulness in business, you had to deal with a Muslim. If you wanted to see simplicity, humility, generosity, kindness, charity, and if you had to see compassion and mercy and forgiveness, then you had to just see the life of a Muslim that you come into contact with, and you would have found it there. Now the difference is this, that whoever wants to accept Islam, then we say, read the books. And we even give them the books. There's nothing wrong, it is all recorded in the books. But Islam was supposed to be in our lives. So therefore, on the one hand, we must be extremely happy. And then it becomes our duty to teach the person what the basic teachings of Islam are. And then you will see that person can rise to heights. They can go to great heights. We must not think just being born a Muslim is sufficient. How many were born Muslims, but along the way, they lost track? How many of them, with such statements of kufr, they left Islam? They were displeased with the teachings of Islam. So I make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this marriage a very, very happy one, full of bliss. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put it, love, muhabbat, compassion, mercy, kindness between their hearts, and make both of them and all of us practical Muslims. So that when people come into contact with us, deal with us, see us, then they see Islam in our lives, and it becomes a means of hidayat for many, many more people. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.